Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Grant and Danny 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you listening to the show as always. I hope you had a very good weekend. Danny will be joining me in just a moment. He is sitting in his laundry room, and I believe he's with us now. Danny, are you there?
I am here, my friend. Good morning to you and the listeners out there in this every day is the same stay-at-home bizarro world that we're in.
It's very odd. There's no doubt about that. I didn't think we'd have you here at the top, and it was going to take a little while because we're in now brand new territory where of everyone that you hear on our station is basically broadcasting from home, and that means that we're using these Comrex devices. And for a short time, it seemed like you were not going to be able to log in because Eric Bickle had forgotten to log out, and here you are. So it all worked out.
We did make it. So what was happening was EB takes off his headphones, isn't answering his cell phone when he's being frantically tried to reach by various producers and people telling him, you have to disconnect so that someone else can connect. There's a whole other show after you. So we think finally somewhere at 9:59 and about 58 seconds. It's like the countdown in the superhero movie or whatever when someone's trying to avoid something really bad happening. We were able to connect with moments to spare.
Which wire do we cut? Blue wire, red wire? Blue wire, red wire. Go blue. No, wait.
I'm gonna go with blue.
No, and right green, as the blue. Wire cutters are on the blue wire, they decide, actually, we're going to go red.
Pretty much what happened. Thank goodness I'm here, though. I made it.
But it worked out. I'm excited about today. I'm excited to be back in the saddle with you. The thing that you said that makes the most sense, though, and that I can most relate to, I have no feel for what day it is ever at this point. Uh-huh. Because literally each day is the exact same as the day before. I have normal obligations on Sunday every single week. I work and do a baseball show for SiriusXM that we're not doing right now. Didn't do it yesterday. I go to church. Didn't leave my house to do that. So nothing felt like Sunday yesterday. So it was just weird. I don't know why this was, but like last night, I kept thinking the weekend is next or like Saturday or Sunday are coming. And I'm like, no, you've got to do the show in the morning. But there is no differentiating between days of the week at this point. They are all very much blending together. And it's not like this is going to change anytime in the near future. I mean, there is a chance that we could have even more stringent, even more strict rules coming down the pike wherever you live in the coming weeks.
Yeah, the monotony is certainly that's the enemy, right? You're trying to find different things to do, different adventures. I mean, again, for folks that don't have kids or don't have small kids or whatever living under the roof, the challenge is very different, right? You're entertaining yourself with endless options. You can nap. You can be on whatever schedule you want. You could do a million things. For those of us just kind of, it's my own fault, but we're in this boat where I got a six-year-old and a now two-year-old. He turned two last week. You're basically trying to find ways to, prevent them from melting down, prevent them from ruining everything while doing your work. I mean, I'm basically useless here. Well, in general, but also especially useless for basically 4.5-5 hours as I get ready for the show and then do the actual show. I can't really be an active hands-on parent. My wife has a full-time job. They're doing meetings. They're doing different things at work. So she's got to kind of build around that and be on call on both complete fronts for about 4+ hours, 5 hours until I can come in and contribute. Everybody's juggling the same kind of things. We're not martyrs. We're not special. Just saying, that's sort of the challenge here. If you've got small kids, you're basically trying to find ways to get them outside, but do it safely. You're trying to find ways to get them tired. I mean, it's already gotten to the point, GP. We're like a European family at this stage. Like last night, my oldest went to bed at like 11:15. He normally goes to bed at 8:30. Somehow we found ourselves like sitting on the couch watching Empire Strikes Back or like HGTV until the wee hours of the morning. Everybody's schedule is wonky. You're just as I keep saying, you're just trying to find ways to occupy their time safely, happily, quietly until they go to bed.
No doubt. There's some NFL news we'll get into, including what the Patriots have decided to do at quarterback right now. I read a great Seth Wickersham story this weekend I want to talk about, kind of the beginning of the end of Brady and Belichick, and how more people should have seen this coming. You know, how the writing has very clearly been on the wall, how the relationship has been souring, and really the wheels were set in motion as far back as training camp for Brady to leave the New England Patriots. So we can get into that coming up. The Redskins were quiet all weekend. It sounds, according to the people that I talked to with the team, like they're mostly done in free agency. There isn't some big move coming. They are kind of moving on to the draft, and there could still be some minor things that happen if some numbers change and some players' demands come down. But they're essentially feeling okay about the class that they put together. We're going to ask you guys later in the hour how you feel about how they did in free agency. But I thought it could be fun, Danny, to just start the show with this. We're all kind of, I hate to say in the dumps, but just trying to find the positives in negatives, right? We're all trying to have some fun. And there are a couple different ways we're going to do that today. We've got great segments at 11 and 1, I'll tell you about at the end of the segment here, that are going to be a blast today that you're going to want to listen to. There's no doubt in my mind. But I thought we could just start with opening up the phones at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. And we want people to tell us about the best moment from their weekend. Maybe it's the best, proudest thing that happened in their lives, or the moment that they were most filled with joy. The just sounds cheesy, but the best thing that happened to you this weekend, whatever that was. You're hanging out with your family. You're by yourself with your cat. Doesn't matter. 2-3 days. Maybe you finished a TV show. Maybe you laughed really hard at a comedian set. What was the best thing that happened to you this weekend? 800-636-1067. Why don't you start us off, Danny?
I can pick from a couple things, but I'm going to go with this. It could certainly be that we're now finally, my oldest is now in, is not scared anymore, and he'll watch the actual Star Wars movies with me, which has been awesome. And we've kind of been doing that every night. We've been doing, you know, 30, 40 minutes of those. But I'll do this. This is very simple. I posted on Instagram the other day. It's at Humorous Danny. I built this, and I built, I'm sure like I'm a real man. I just put together, via instructions, this pitchback netting. It's, you know, some cheap thing I bought on Amazon or whatever for him to practice baseball and kind of do something, occupy his time in the backyard. And when I did it the first day, it was filled with a million arguments and fights and whining and complaining, and some of that was from him, some of that was from me. None of it was any good. Everyone was mad and irritated, and I felt like I'd wasted my money and my time. On his own, he opened up the little back door into our little backyard, little fenced-in area, went and got his safety baseballs, threw his glove on, and was firing balls and catching them of that little net all by his lonesome. And I went out there and joined him, obviously, but it was his idea, his initiative, his thing, and I was like, yes, because I did that as a kid. That's what I did. Whenever I was bored, whenever, you know, dad was watching something, because we only had one television, obviously. We were like in Back to the Future. Nobody has two television sets. But it was, I could do something or I could not. I went outside and I threw the ball off the wall. Later on, when I got a catch net, I would throw it in a million different ways and, you know, work on backhands, work on short hops, work on in-between hops. I would work on trying to hit the target. I mean, I would challenge myself to do all these millions of things by my lonesome, and it was a great way to exercise, occupy your time, improve your skill set. Everything about it was good. That made me feel awesome watching him do that on his own. So that is my best thing of the weekend.
Yeah, I can only imagine. That's great. I spent so many hours with one of those nets. I'm like you. That's one of the greatest, I don't know if you call that a toy, but kind of sports creations for kids, I think, over the years. Is anything like that you could kind of do on your own? You don't need a bunch of buddies to come over and play in the yard with. But I can't tell you how many hours I spent with one of those nets. The other thing that was really good, too, was when they came out with, like, when you're shooting hoops in your backyard, and there's that little, some of them are built better than others, and some of them are rinky-dink and cheap. But, like, the plastic thing that, like, feeds the ball back to you, you know what I'm talking about?
The auto-rebounder, yeah.
The auto-rebounders are huge. And that both of those, to me, were game-changers as far as just being able. And I had two siblings who were older. Older brothers. I had, you know, my younger sister, but none of them really generally wanted to go play sports. One of my brothers and I would occasionally play in the yard. So a lot of the times my mom did daycare. It was like the kids that she was watching and me in the backyard, but that's awesome. For me, I'll first go just in my own dumb little life, and then I'll go with a family thing like you did, which is huge. So in my own dumb little life, you know that I can't successfully finish shows. I just,
yes.
I for whatever reason, I start these shows on Netflix and on Amazon Prime and all these things, and I never actually finish them. Your boy, in the span of 2 days, got through 16 episodes of Jack Ryan.
Oh, my man.
I crushed it. Season one was phenomenal.
Wasn't it good? Yeah.
It's hard not to give it a 10 out of 10, but I'll give it a 9. Season two, I actually really liked. Like, a lot of people panned it to me on social media. It was not as good as season one, but I don't know that you can repeat that. I'm going to give season two maybe like a 7.5, fringe 8, but it was still really good. Like, if season one never happened, I think I'd really like the show in season two. But I finished Jack Ryan, and I finished All or Nothing with the Carolina Panthers. I've got some observations on Ron Rivera. So there's actually a more recent All or Nothing, which is like the in-season, year-long Hard Knock show that Amazon Prime does. Last year they had the Eagles. But I wanted to go back 2 seasons ago to watch the Panthers just to get a feel for Rivera and his staff and so many of those assistants like Scott Turner who are now with the Redskins. So it was cool to get a behind-the-scenes look on how they run their program. And I think if you're a Redskins fan and you have that opportunity, you should check it out because it relates really well to how the Redskins are going to be run this year.
I'd forgotten that the Panthers were on there because before that, I think the Cowboys had one. I think maybe even the Cardinals had one.
Cowboys, right? And there was one other team because the Eagles are season 5. Panthers were season 4. But I banged through all 8 episodes over the weekend as well.
Yeah, that's good field research, man. Seriously. I mean, we're starved for information at this point. We don't know what we don't know yet. What a great way to get some insight onto the Ron Rivera era.
Yeah, I got some Rivera stories we can get into a little bit later today. But let's get your calls on this next at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Presumably you were home almost exclusively all weekend long. What was the best thing that happened to you or with your family this weekend, or what was the best thing that you did? 800-636-1067. At 10:30, the Redskins did have a very low-key free agency period. How do you feel about it? And we are going to let you know at 11:01 about those two segments I told you you want to hear from a couple of familiar names in town joining us on G&D. A little bit out of character, though, for what they'll be doing on the show. You're listening to The Fan.
Danny Ruglia here from My Guys at Ted Burt Ford. We're talking about cool stuff that happened to you this weekend. Well, I'll tell you about a cool thing that I did several years ago. I went to Ted Burt for the first time. I loved the experience so much that I've been back 2 times since then to get new cars. That's right. In fact, my lease is coming up pretty soon. And guess where I'm going? Ted Britt Ford. That's right. First of all, I have to because I have to return the car. But the second thing that's going to happen is I'm getting myself a new one. I love these guys. They're awesome at what they do. 60 years in business. You can't luck box into that. You can't be accidentally in business for 60-plus years. Let them win your business like they've won mine and so many thousands of folks in the D.C. metro area. It's the best buying experience in town. I'm telling you. I have done it. I've gone to other places. I've gone to this place. This place is the best. It's why I'm going back. So what you're going to get, an unbelievable deal on a car, truck, SUV. Right now, some of the specials are ridiculous, like $15,900 off the MSRP on an F-150, okay, or $6,800 off the MSRP on a Mustang, and they will treat you incredibly well. You'll want to go back again. Go see my guys in Fairfax and Chantilly, and just tell them, please, that Danny sent you.
Grant and Danny, 1067 The Fan. We are on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson for me, if you want to interact, not via the phones.
At Funny Danny for yours truly.
You can tweet us there. You can hit us up on Instagram as well. But most importantly, if you want to get in touch, pick up the phone and call 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We're starting the show with you telling us what the best thing that happened to you was this weekend. So here are a couple of segments today that you'll want to listen to. So at 11 a.m., Danny, our buddy Tress Way is on the show. We love Tress. Tress is a good dude. He's a punter. He's a pro bowler. And if you haven't heard him on the show before, he's immensely entertaining and a really good guy.
All true.
Tress Way has decided that he's going to walk around his house, and he's going to just find something, and he's going to be holding it in his hands while he's on the phone with us. And we're going to bring back the age-old Grant and Danny game show, What is in Tress Way's Hands? People will call in.
Yes.
They will ask yes or no questions, and they will have to determine what random thing from Tress Way's house is he holding in his hands while he's live on the Grant and Danny radio program.
And keep in mind, this is radio friendly, so it's nothing adult. It will just be a regular, run-of-the-mill, everyday type object, and we'll be able to ask questions and get clues and narrow down everybody's favorite game. What is Tressway holding in his hands?
We'll do that at 11. 1 o'clock today, Joe Beninati joins the radio program. I was texting with Joe B. over the weekend. My guy all of a sudden has nothing to do, Danny. He can't call Caps games. Now, the good folks at NBC Sports Washington have put him to work because they're actually having he and Locker record and broadcast over top of hour-long video game simulations of all the Caps games the rest of the way, which is pretty cool. But at 1 o'clock, Joe B's going to join the show today. And if you dig this, I'd like to do this moving forward with as many of our broadcasters as want to participate. The guys that we love locally, like Bob Carpenter, Justin Kutcher, and nationally, like our guy Kevin Burkhart and Ian Eagle. And we could get as many as we want on the show. I think we got to get Kevin Harlan on, our regular PBP guys. But Joe Beninati will join us today, and we've basically given him the open forum of he's going to announce himself doing some type of household chore or something around his house.
He's just going to call it.
He's going to call the play-by-play of himself as he's at his house. I'd like to say doing nothing, but he's probably going to have to be doing something for it all to work. At 1 o'clock today.
Yeah. He could do play-by-play of himself flipping through channels. He's like, right. And guys, HGTV has a rerun on, so we're going to flip to MTV. There's nothing. It's a long commercial break. Like, he could do anything, and I'd be entertained by it.
Why are the commercial breaks so long for MTV?
I've always thought that. It's one of my weird little things that I can't prove it. I've never done a scientific study. I've always felt that they have longer commercial breaks than every other station.
It feels that way. I mean, maybe they don't, but I'm with you. I've always kind of, I remember being like a teenager in high school watching Next and Room Raiders and thinking, is this show ever going to come back on?
That's right.
What was your MTV show of choice?
So by the time they started doing shows, that was kind of the end of it for me. Because I'm old enough, GP, I'm dating myself here, where music videos used to be such an awesome and amazing thing. That was so much fun to find out kind of like the latest of what they did in their video. And I'm from the era of, you know, Michael Jackson doing incredible things, the early 90s, like Guns N' Roses, November Rain. It was always incredible. I think of like Blind Melon and Janet Jackson was some of her amazing stuff. That was the time for me. By the time they started doing shows, I was like, can you do the music thing? You guys got great because of music stuff. Now you don't do any music. It's people with 900 abs flirting with each other. That's less fun for me.
You're older, so you don't get the same joy out of seeing, like, Room Raiders van pull up in someone's driveway that your boy used to see when they'd take out the tongs and the magnifying glass and go through someone's room. It was a good time. 800-636-1067 is the number. Best thing that happened to you this weekend. Let's go to the phones. Chris is in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris? How are you?
I'm good, guys. I'm actually very, very good at social distancing, so if you need any tips, let me know. I've been practicing it for the majority of my life.
For a very long time.
I remember a couple weeks ago, I was down at West Palm. I was hoping to see you guys, but everything got canceled. I put down a modest bid on a Juan Soto bat. I've never done, you know, a memorabilia auction, and I think I just was the only one who did that day. So I won a Juan Soto World Series baseball bat, which just came in the mail last week. You guys can see the pictures. Yeah.
Oh, I see it now. That looks awesome. Is that an authentic game piece?
Yeah, it's got the sticker, and it was an auction from the MLB Players Association.
Oh, that is
so
awesome.
I'm pretty sure it's legit. Yeah. So that was nice. And I finally beat my son in Madden 20 the first time in like 100 tries. I usually lose because I insist on being the Redskins, who are woeful, and he just chooses better teams. Right. But somehow I got lucky and I tackled him and made a forced fumble on a kickoff to win the game on the last play. So it was exhilarating.
That's
so
bigly.
Good. Yeah.
How old's your kid, by the way? He's gone. I'm just wondering, you know, at some point the kid starts beating the dad in video games, but I thought his kid was younger. So if he's been pummeling you for years, that's a little bit of an issue, I would say.
Well, that was the first obstacle, man. I remember, because, like, here's what happens, obviously. You know, father time, starts pummeling dads. I remember this, obviously, by the time I was, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, I could start consistently beating my dad in whatever it was. And that was like a huge deal for me. But now looking back on it, I realize he was just sore. He was just really tired. And he probably had to, like, you know, rake leaves or, like, mow the lawn at one point, you know. And, like, that left him sore for 6 days so I could finally beat him in basketball in his old man post-up game.
Right.
You know, like, I remember thinking that was the hugest deal when I was a kid that I could beat my dad. Well, the time that it would have been a better matchup, I was only 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah. Well, but kids are so good at video games now, though.
Yep.
Like, my little nephew, he plays video games for hours, and he is so good at them. Like, I come to his house. I mean, when he was five, he might have even been four, but I think he was five. We went on vacation to Disney World, and we all were in the same house that we rented. And, like, he's like, "Hey, Uncle Jeeps, can we play some Madden?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but, you know, this is a random house. I don't really know how to set it up. We got to wait till your dad gets home, and he can get you squared away." And, like, 5 minutes later, he comes and gets me. He's like, "Oh, Uncle Jeeps." And, like, points at the TV, and, like, Madden is up and running, and he's, like, got the teams ready to be set up. I'm like, he hooked it all up.
What? You did that?
Like, he went behind the TV, and he's plugging red into red. He's doing all the whatever it is. But, like, this is the same kid that, at, like, 1 in the morning one time, my brother, like, comes out of his room, and he's connected via headset mic to one of his buddies from, like, his kindergarten class playing a video game. Like, this is a problem.
Oh, dude.
But
it's 100%.
My point is to say that he's a genius, and, like, he's Fortniting and doing all this other stuff. Kids are so good. So I get how Chris can be a grown dude and his son can be beating him in a video game.
Well, they're raised on it. And that's what's different is, like, my 6-year-old doesn't know what iPods are. I mean, that's how young this generation is. And we get Minecraft, which is huge for kids around, like, 5, 6, you know, all the way up to, like, 10 years old. And there's some creativity to it, and there's some engineering, so you don't feel like just a complete jerk and terrible parent as they, like, you know, just spend all their time with their face buried in the iPad. But it took him, I'd say, an hour, and he's, like, you know, equipping things to his hot bar. He's got hotkeys. He's in various parts of his inventory. He's like, "No, Dad, use the cobblestones instead of the bricks." I have no idea what he's talking about, and I'm a lifelong video game player. I still actively play, and it took him a matter of minutes to basically master the functionality of this thing on his iPad. It's amazing.
It's incredible. It's almost like you and I we learn to speak languages older, but if you come up in it and you're immersed in that language from infancy, it's just so much more natural to you, and it comes so much more easily.
100%.
And I think it's intuitive, and it makes sense. Tress Way is going to be on the show at 11 o'clock today. Redskins' free agency period was low-key, but there was some news over the weekend. They are shopping Quentin Dunbar. What I heard about that and talking to some Redskins folks, next on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We'll get into the Redskins' quiet free agency period in just a moment. There is some Quentin Dunbar news to get to. Jason Lock on For It will be on the show today at 11:30. 1 hour from right now, our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. We'll take a look at this weekend's latest from NFL free agency around the league with Jason, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in 2 great tropical flavors. Looking forward to Laka, who, by the way, is now full-time in the radio game like us. He is doing a drive-time show in Baltimore now, Danny.
That's right, man. That's right. Big time.
Good for him. I'm excited to hear more of him in the area. But right now, let's get into the latest on Quentin Dunbar. So I'm sure you saw, like everybody else, and I know you hit me up at one point over the weekend saying, you know, let's get into this, that Mike Florio came out and said that Dunbar is now kind of officially on the trade market. I think he said something like the Redskins are now finally shopping Quentin Dunbar, something along those lines, right?
That's right, yeah.
Here is what I have been told based on the team folks that I talk to. They are listening and accepting phone calls when teams make them on Quentin Dunbar. They're not hanging up. They're not telling teams that he's unavailable or untouchable. Why would he be? He's 27. He has 1 year left on his deal. He may leave in free agency after this coming season. It's not like they're in a win or die kind of year in year one under Ron Rivera. But they are not initiating any of those calls from what I was told. They're not, quote unquote, shopping him, if that's the terminology being used.
Because that's what's out there, that they are shopping him. Yeah.
They are basically accepting phone calls. You want to knock our socks off? You want to give us something more than we think we're going to get? Awesome. But they are not the team making the phone calls. They fully expect, as of right now, barring someone basically, I hate to say overpaying, but impressing by giving them a huge offer because they love Quentin Dunbar, who hadn't been able to stay healthy the last couple of years, because they're going to then pay him on a huge extension to keep him around as a good corner. The Redskins view him as their cornerback one. I mean, they think he is their best corner. He's under contract. And the one thing I was told when I talked to somebody with the team this weekend was, remember, the new CBA makes it harder to hold out than it has ever been before. And they know that. So I believe that they feel like this is not Trent Williams. He's going to play this season. He has to up his market going into next year as it is so that he can go get paid what he wants. So they're not, quote-unquote, shopping him. If there's a term to use, I would say they're listening when teams call. But I'd say you're doing that with almost everybody. So I think that was a little bit overblown, in my opinion.
Well, he's had some spare time, like the rest of us have, and he's tweeted an awful lot. He's got a lot of things to share that are very veiled, pretty easy to deduce, you know, whether it's shots at the organization or, you know, sharing his opinions about how he's not getting respect or his own worth or whatever. And I hate that this is what we do. We interpret social media posts or, you know, Instagram memes or eye rolls or whatever the hell else. But some of these things are pretty apparent, right? Where he's talking about things like, once you ain't got respect, you don't have nothing. Let that sink in. You know, just sort of talking about his own standing, complimenting other quarterbacks, corners rather, that are getting paid. He had a missive where he was trying to explain that something was the trainer's fault and I played and, you know, the games that he missed didn't make sense to me. And it was just talking about his freedom, how he wants to get out of here. So he's got a foot out the door is what it sounds like. So the message from the Redskins may be what you're talking about. And I have no doubt, no reason to doubt the veracity of what you're saying. But it looks like from Quentin Dunbar's perspective that his time with the Redskins is coming to an end. And that's the feeling that he's sort of sending out there into the universe, that he's been disrespected somehow in this entire process, viewing himself as a star. He believes the team isn't viewing him that way, and he wants out of here.
Yeah, what I would say to that, though, is I don't know that he gets any say in that right now.
Sure.
I mean, cool. You don't want to be here. You got a year left on your contract. And the NFL and the Players Association just made it really difficult to hold out now. Now, if you want to sit out a season like Trent Williams just did, okay. You got that kind of money saved? You haven't made the money Trent Williams has made in his career. I mean, you don't see that with guys of his caliber. No disrespect to Quentin Dunbar. I have been, as you know, a huge proponent of his for a while. I was saying he was the best corner on the team going into last year when they still had Josh Norman. I think he's outstanding. In fact, I would trade for him. I would try to sign him to a big extension. His frustration comes from the fact that the previous regime let him know and told him, hey, go out and play good football and we will pay you. He feels like he went out and he played good football and now it's time to be paid. Here's the problem. There's a new regime. You know, if CK told us something, get these ratings for X amount of months, and then we're going to give you a nice big fat contract. But then CK leaves and a new program director comes in, you think that guy's just going to honor CK's word and give you that money?
Right.
Of course he's not. Why would they do that? So that's what's happened here. A lot of the old people who he was negotiating with and talking to and he would have his meetings with are no longer in the building. Not to mention, he missed 5 more games last year after missing 9 games the year before. So he's got to prove that he can stay healthy. I mean, he has some decent numbers. He picked off 4 passes last year. I think he has great ball skills as a former wide receiver. He's a huge success story, having changed positions with the Redskins. I'm a Quentin Dunbar fan. I really am. I hear people kind of laugh it off or joke. Who is Quentin Dunbar? Well, he's really good, and I mean that. I mean, I think he's legitimate. The Redskins, as I said, view him as their cornerback one going into the season. But as far as I'm concerned, Danny, his rhetoric about wanting to be paid, and that's all well and good.
Sure.
If the Redskins don't want to move him, he's just going to be starting at corner for them in September. They don't. It's not like Trent Williams, in my opinion, where they've got to do something where they need to resolve this.
But,
they really
don't.
It's
also a guy that hasn't made $70 million or whatever the hell it is over his career. And so for people that have argued with me, and again, I'm at Funny Danny, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson, I will always be sympathetic, and I will listen. The desire to make more money from your employer is, since the dawn of employment, since the first person to ever do a job for another person, of course you'd like to make more money. The next time I go in. I'm going to ask for more money. The same as everybody. I have no problem with that. I have no problem using whatever leverage you have, right? It's all about demand. So if somebody else wants you more, you will use that. Again, so far, no issue. The problem that I've had throughout this process, remember how this all developed. He had the initial complaint about, I want out of here. I want to be traded or released. Then a statement contradicting that, and then another round of this, right? We've gone through this, and it just seems to me that a guy behaving like he's hurt, like he's annoyed, he's frustrated.
He wants to
be treated like a star, and he's not getting the same treatment as other stars. I have very little sympathy for that, right? I understand where everybody's coming from here in terms of the Redskins. Think about this. If the Redskins aren't patient for a couple years while you learn how to play cornerback, you are hoping the XFL calls. You're one of the, you know, receiver number 1,265 in his mid-20s on this planet that had a pretty decent highlight tape while he was at Florida. And no one knows the name Quentin Dunbar. The Redskins deserve some credit here for rejuvenating, believing in him, allowing his career to get to the point where he could earn this money. So from the Redskins' perspective, I can understand them going, hey, dude, when you sign this, remember, you were either going to get nothing as a receiver and be on somebody's practice squad at best, or we turn you into a cornerback. We'll go ahead and honor this deal, right? From his perspective, I'm good. I don't want to go into the last year on without any guaranteed money. I'd like something new. I get both perspectives there. I don't think anybody's the villain to this point. But then when he starts going, you know, trade me, release me, without even having talked to Ron Rivera, that was the initial report.
Right.
That's something that I don't really have much sympathy for.
I'm with you, and I don't either necessarily. That said, I understand his wanting to be paid. What
Absolutely.
I would say to Quentin Dunbar, though, is listen, man, you are good. You're better than the industry probably knows that you are.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't played 16 games as a starter. You've been hurt the last two seasons. Your market is not that great. There's no teams moving mountains to bring you in. No one's offering the Redskins a one or a two for Quentin Dunbar right now. So they're not going to – what's more important, your number one cornerback or a fourth-round or fifth-round draft pick? They're not going to make that trade if someone's given up a five. Now, if a team loves you and wants to sign you to a four-year extension for $50 million bucks or something crazy like that, then, yeah, they might trade a high pick for you. They view you as a starting corner for years to come. But I don't know that he's put enough film out there for that to be where he's at. And just the comp, because you brought this up, and career earnings – Trent Williams has made $95 million in his career.
Yeah, there you
Quentin
go.
Quentin Dunbar's made $9 million. Like, one of those guys can sit out for a season and say, don't worry about paying me my $14 million. I'm not sure that Quentin Dunbar can. Where are you guys at on the Dunbar story at 800-636-1067? What would it take for you to be willing to trade him? If a team called, and again, what I was told is the Redskins are very much listening to those calls. They're just not the one initiating those conversations. They plan on keeping him because they feel like he's going to be their number one cornerback this year. But what would it take for you to actually move him at this point? Because as Danny said, he is hurt, he is frustrated, and you don't want him to become a distraction. Something Ron Rivera is already dealing with on the Trent Williams front. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Tress Way going to grab something random out of his house, and you're going to guess what's in his hand at 11 o'clock. It's that simple. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Make sure you're listening in 13 minutes when Tress Way joins the show. You can call us to play the game, What is in Tress Way's Hand? He's Danny, I'm Grant, and this is The Fan. A couple people have asked, I just want to get this out of the way really quick. Why is it harder to hold out on the new CBA than the old one? Something I had mentioned last segment. The reason is that it's now mandated, not up to the team basically, that you get fined $40,000 a day when you hold out from training camp. That's number one. So that adds up quickly, Danny. I mean, you want to miss a week? Okay, just take six work days, times 40,000. That's how much you're out after that first week. Good luck. Second reason it's so difficult for players to hold out on this new CBA is that we now know that there's no language to decipher. There's no caveats and gray areas and ways to win a hearing. If you don't report, you lose your accrued season towards free agency, period. What does that mean? It means if Quentin Dunbar holds out or pulls what we call a Trent Williams.
Pulls a Trent.
And just doesn't play all season like Trent Williams did. Trent Williams got a year closer to free agency by not showing up to the Redskins. There was 2 years left on his deal that he signed with the team. He didn't play last year, didn't show up. Did kind of at one point for a split second. But the point
and
is,
his helmet didn't fit.
Right, exactly.
That's I got to go.
So what happens is he's 1 year closer to free agency. He just didn't play last year. On the new CBA, if Quentin Dunbar holds out for the season, the Redskins still have a year left of your contract because it just carries over until you show up, basically. And that's my understanding of the new CBA and why the holdouts have become increasingly difficult. So that's bad news for
sense.
A guy like Dunbar who wants a contract.
That makes good sense. And listen, initially, it's easy to say, even with the new CBA, you're right, it's more restrictive for that. But beyond that, this is the holdout is built for a guy that's already got his, right? I think Le'Veon Bell holding out, he'd already made a bunch of money. Same with Trent Williams. Same with, you know, kind of the guys in history who are willing to sit out for seasons. It's not as if $9 million is chump change, but it's not the, you know, forever all your, you know, people, your great-great-great-grandchildren to be set up for life via trust fund. You know what I mean? It's a lot of money, obviously, for the rank and file, but for NFL terms, this is not family forever-altering money, I would say. And I think that's kind of something that Trent Williams had as an advantage, and plus his principles. He's willing to sit out an entire year. I don't know that Dunbar would be able to do that. And if he did, I guess kudos to him. But this, to me, is about the leverage the Redskins have versus what's best for the team. And the leverage they have, you've already done a great job of laying that out, right, the 1030 segment. They basically are under no obligation to trade him. But from a I'm trying to build something here perspective, I would love for him to be gone. I'm already sick of this act if I'm Ron Rivera and company, where you started grousing before you and I had a conversation. You never let me say, hey, here's what my plan is. You never let me say, if you do X, then we will reward you or whatever. You don't know what I was thinking. He already started grousing, already started whining. I know if you did that with everybody every year, you'd end up without a roster. You know, anytime somebody complains, you ship them out of there. But there was something about how this went to me, GP. You can win three games with Quentin Dunbar playing 7, 8, 9 because that's what they did last year. He hasn't been healthy. Or you can get yourself a pretty decent pick because I think people know that he's a pretty good player, right, and it's worth something. And, you know, start rebuilding in that way, replenishing some of the picks that you've lost over previous years and maybe having an advantage of trying to find guys that are going to be here and be good in a couple years. If he doesn't want to be here, I will oblige that request in this year one of Ron Rivera establishing the Ron Rivera culture.
Which I get, and I'm not telling you you're crazy. He's a really good football player
yes,
at a position
is.
Where I'm not very good. Tough cookies, dude.
Totally
we'll
true.
We'll see
yeah.
you day one. You're a good corner. I don't have enough good corners. We'll see you when you show up. And if you don't like it here and you don't like my program, which is nothing like the last program, you don't like how I run my operation, and you want to leave via free agency, then we'll shake hands and I'll say Ron Rivera's bit is to call his players kiddo when he's talking to them. Hey, thanks for everything you did for me, kiddo. I really appreciate it. And you go sign your 4-year contract with the Falcons or whatever. But in the meantime, me, Grant Rivera over here, I'll see you day one at training camp. I don't get rid of good players for nothing, for no reason, just to do it. I'm just not in that mode until a situation is, like, completely untenable or makes no sense, like the Trent Williams thing. But I got a lot of people that asked me on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson, they said, well, why not just pay him? If they say he's their number one cornerback, which they do, that's what I was told, and they feel like he's pretty good, why not pay him? Well, here's why. The coaching staff is almost entirely new. Specifically the defensive side of the ball, where Rivera is your top guy and Del Rio is your coordinator. The front office is largely new. They don't know what kind of player he is. They don't know what kind of person he is. They are trying to determine who to build this program around. Who are our building blocks? Who are our core guys moving forward? If I'm going to give Quentin Dunbar a 4- or 5-year contract, why would I do that while he's basically taking his ball and going home before I've ever even talked to him, to your point? And basically throwing a temper tantrum, and I'm just going to pay this guy I barely know as a person and know a little bit of what I've watched on film as a player? Show it to me. I'm looking to figure out this year, who am I building this thing around? Who's going to be my Luke Kuechly, my Thomas Davis, my Greg Olsen? You know, who's going to establish my culture? If he's worthy of that, I'll pay him at the end of the year. But I got to figure that out. I think that's more than reasonable.
Of course it is. And that was my problem with this whole thing. Now, if a conversation happens, at the core of this thing for me and why I'm being so reactionary about this, Grant, is the anger and upset that he didn't get a phone call like before. Remember, the timeline of this thing was you got to go back to February. The Redskins hadn't – Ron Rivera was pointing to this one date on the calendar. I can't remember what day it was. But, hey, we're all going to get together, all the scouts, all the people. This is when we were still allowed to get together in public, by the way. We're all going to get together, and we're going to discuss what the hell we're going to do with the Redskins. Who's staying, who's in, who's out, who's good, who's not, who we're cutting, who we're trading, everything, the entire plan. And he hadn't had a chance to do anything, and Dunbar hadn't gotten a phone call yet. And that's what is at the core of this to me. It's why it's stuck in my craw so badly, is he wanted some sort of special treatment like he was Trent Williams. The Trent Williams situation that had gone on for almost 2 years now in some kind of capacity, both behind the scenes and out in public. He wanted his special treatment phone call and to be coaxed and talked to and cajoled and treated in a very nice way. He didn't get that, so he demanded his trade. That's where this thing started for me, why I'm so irritated by it. Everything you said is right, 100%, by the way. This is why I'd make a terrible general manager, by the way. These sort of things, I just can't stand the idea that – now, again, the result may be where Rivera and his cohorts and everybody gets together and they go, yeah, we're going to trade Quentin Dunbar, and he could be notified of that. But because Dunbar starts agitating before any of this could happen, that's what frustrates me so much about this, is that he wants to be treated in this extra special way that's reserved for perennial, you know, superstar, all-pro right. caliber left tackles that have $90-plus million over their career. I'm sorry you're not getting that special treatment at this point. We literally just got together for the first time, and you're mad that I didn't call you before this? That's the part of this I can't handle.
Here's the good news, I think, for the Redskins. If he gets traded, it'll be a deal where they get something back that matters a lot. You know, and I don't mean a player as much as a pretty good draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
If he's still here for next year,
you got a good player.
Then the best corner on your roster is still a Redskin. I'm not sure they can lose here, because even if they deal him, it just became obvious behind the scenes in their meetings with him, well, he's just going to be a malcontent, and he's going to be annoying to deal with all season long. My guess is you get him into that building, you get him around a couple guys like the aforementioned Thomas Davis, mm-hmm. he's not going to abide that. He's not going to play that game. And again, I just watched this Panthers All or Nothing series from the 2018 season, and I've got all kinds of stories I saw behind the scenes with that team. There's a lot I like about how Ron Rivera empowers his veteran players to talk to guys like Quentin Dunbar when they're having issues. And we can get into that in a little bit. Next, though, what is in Tressway's hand? That is the question. The way this will work, you call us at 800-636-1067. Just have a little fun. Hop on the phones. You'll ask yes or no questions of Tressway, and we'll try to determine by way of your guesses what is in Tressway's hand. Next on Grant and Danny, Jason Lock on 4 at 11:30 right here on the stand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.